direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together tonight, and I hope you'll join me. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. 888-876-5593. That's 8888-Raleigh. And so it was last night that Brian, actually, I think the night before, Monday night, that Brian in Chicago had requested, among other things, Afro Man Lemon Pound Cake, and I must admit I was clueless. Well, not anymore. This is a fascinating little story all the way around, and a great video, and a lot of fun, and now the subject of lawsuits. So when I first read this, I thought, oh, there's no way he can lose. Well, au contraire on part of it. So, yeah, boy, there was a little part of it I didn't know about. But anyhow, let's first review. If you're unaware of Afro Man, he is a rapper and known for, his hits, Because I Got High, Crazy Rapped, Colt 45, and Zigzags. And so it was that police decided that he was doing more than rapping, and they raided his house. And the upshot afterwards was there was nothing to charge him with. During the raid, one of the deputies got distracted by a lemon pound cake that happened to be on a counter in the kitchen. And so it was afterwards that Afro Man, who, by the way, was thoroughly disgusted by the idea of the raid. And who could blame him? Now, fortunate for him, in more ways than one, he had home video, that's right, surveillance cameras. And so here comes law enforcement searching his home on the suspicion of drug trafficking and kidnapping, and they find absolutely no evidence. They kicked down his door. They broke the video surveillance system, obviously not completely. They stole money from him, and they frightened his family. And so he was upset, and who could blame him? But Afro Man, by the way, is Joseph Foreman. And what he did next, he terms the smartest, most peaceful solution. He said, I asked myself, as a powerless black man in America, what can I do to the cops that kicked my door and tried to kill me in front of my kids, stole my money, and disconnected my cameras? The only thing I could come up with was make a funny rap song about them and make some money, use the money to pay for the damages they did, and move on. So he released an album with songs about the raid and made music videos out of the surveillance footage. Ah, so far so good. Now, here's the part that might hang him. He created merchandise and social media posts. It's the merchandise, and we'll get to why that may be something that he loses as far as that part of the lawsuit. Yes, there will be one. It was four deputies, two sergeants, and one detective from the Adams County Sheriff's Office in Ohio. And they are now suing him, accusing him of profiting from the unauthorized use of their likenesses at their personal and professional expense. And so they filed a complaint in Ohio, saying it's more difficult and dangerous to carry out their duties because of comments made and attitudes expressed toward them by members of the public who have seen the videos. There again, I say, so what? You're not going to win on that. And I don't think they will. They say they've received death threats, suffered humiliation, ridicule, mental distress, embarrassment, and loss of reputation. And they're seeking all of Afro Man's profits from the use of their personas, all of it, including the proceeds of songs, videos, live events, as well as the merchandise, the T-shirts in particular. Again, that's going to be the problem. The beer, the marijuana, the T-shirts, as well as a court injunction to take down the music videos. Now, I say they're going to lose most of this. Now, I know I'm already prejudicing you, but I'm pretty sure that they can't do a damn thing about the music videos. But, yeah, there's a but. Anyway, what they are claiming is unless defendants are restrained, plaintiff will suffer irreparable damage to their reputations, their mental health, and their legally protected rights as defendants continue to willfully and maliciously violate. And the plaintiff's lawyer has not formally responded. And Afro Man has. He said his immediate reaction was a drop of anger, disbelief, and a little anxiety, followed by tons of laughter. He said, I was thinking these big bad cops are being beat up and bullied by those little corny rap songs I made about them. I'm like, oh my God, are you letting me know that my raps are working on you? He said he was already pursuing a defamation lawsuit against the police, that they made the process easier because now his legal team just needs to countersue, which they plan to do soon. He said, I want to sue them for stealing my money. I want to sue them for kidnapping, writing kidnapping on a warrant and making me suffer financially in my industry just because that accusation makes people raise an eyebrow about you. Yes, kidnapping will do that. So this was last August when officers obtained a warrant to conduct his house. And WXIX TV in Cincinnati, the Fox affiliate, got a copy of that. And it alleged there were drugs, drug paraphernalia, money, and weapons associated with drug trafficking and kidnapping. And Afro Man says he has absolutely no idea where the kidnapping accusation came from and had nothing more in his house than the ends of a few blunts and unused pipes. In his Wednesday post, he accused a quote-unquote racist judge of signing a fictitious false warrant. And actually, he was out of town the day of the raid, but his ex-wife and kids, then 10 and 12, live nearby. They came over when they saw the police. The raid was recorded, part of it on his ex-wife's phone, and other scenes were captured by security videos around the house. And no charges, as I say, came from the search whatsoever, because there was nothing to be found. So he wound up having to, Afro Man, repair his door, the external gate, his security system. Cost him almost $20,000. And he also accuses the police of stealing. The officers confiscated more than $5,000 in cash during the raid, earnings from performances. Eventually, they had to return it, but it was with $400 missing. The court said, they've just miscounted the original amount. And he said, they became thieves. They stole my money. After they stole my money, they became criminals. After they became criminals, as far as I'm concerned, they lose their right to privacy. Well, I don't know they had any right to privacy. So here comes Lemon Pound Cake. Now, before we do anything else, I guess you need to hear it. But now, if you can go online, you can see the video. And, of course, you'll see all of the plaintiffs, all of the cops in the raid. But as for Lemon Pound Cake, they did Lieber, Afro Man did Lieber and Stoller Proud, who, of course, did the original Under the Boardwalk. So here we go.
The Adams County Sheriff kicked down my door. Then I heard the glass break. They found no kidnapping victims, just some lemon pound cake. Mama's lemon pound cake. It tastes so nice. It made the sheriff wanna put down his gun. Cut him a slice.
Of what? Of what?
Lemon pound cake. He wanna put down his glide. Lemon pound cake. Trending on TikTok. Lemon pound cake. He's a family guy. Lemon pound cake. The munchies because he got hot. Lemon pound cake. Pound cake. He's a Adams County Sheriff. He's hungry and he's big as hell. He was sniffing for weed. Then he smelled another smell.
What was that?
Mama's lemon pound cake. It tastes so nice. It made the sheriff wanna put down his gun. Cut him a slice.
Of what? Of what? Lemon Pound Cake.
And you can hear the rest of it online. And it is hilarious as far as I'm concerned. And as Afro Man says, me laughing at them, making songs about them is more powerful than their authority. It's more powerful than their assault rifles, than what they got, because I got these big, bad, tough guys crying and whining about my songs on my page in my world. Yes, so what's the problem? All right. Well, again, the cops suing, for the most part, I would assume that almost all of this will be thrown out, because as far as the musical parody, they don't have much to stand on. As far as where Afro Man got the footage, they don't have anything to stand on there either. But, okay, on the merchandise, one of the things sold is a T-shirt. And what they are doing, what he is doing, Afro Man is doing, is in fact taking images of the officers and putting them on the T-shirts. And, you know, legal standards are going to differ somewhat state to state, I assume. But bottom line is that you don't have the right to take someone's image as your logo. All right, so that's the bottom line to this. Sort of like, you know, if you're a dance school, you can't put Fred Astaire in your you know, billboard or what have you. And so how the images are used is what will hang him. Because, as I say, music, fully protected by the First Amendment. So I don't think they have a hope on the music or the video, because courts aren't allowed to get into what's good, what's bad. You know, they can't say it's bad art or it's not music. Well, it is music. And so now you get to the apparel. And there was a case with the Three Stooges years ago where an entrepreneur stuck an old photo of the Three Stooges on a T-shirt and wanted to sell thousands of them. And the bottom line is that didn't work. That wasn't art. That wasn't his right to do, as far as that goes. There's also a case of transformation in terms of how the image is used, and that's a very sticky line. But in terms of using somebody's image on a T-shirt and selling it for cash, that's going to be a problem. But we'll see. As far as the lawsuit, though, overall, I mean, I think Afro Man is the best thing that ever happened to this guy. I never heard of this guy. By the way, so far he's sold only about 50 of the T-shirts, and you know, so if that part of the lawsuit is held up and he has to give up the profits of the T-shirts, that's not you know, not going to be anything that will kill him. But anyhow, that's the deal. So yes, Afro Man and Lemon Pound Cake. I thought it was hilarious. So thanks to Brian for that. I'll be looking for the upshot of the lawsuit, as well as what's coming next for Afro Man, because you know he's not done. On the particular album he did where Lemon Pound Cake is, there's also Will You Help Me Repair My Door, which the video for that includes a montage of clips from the raid. And you know darn well he's planning for future endeavors, to say the least. So yeah, the cops are not intentionally, but they're making him a bigger star, no doubt about that. But the T-shirts, man, I'm telling you, legally, as we watch these lawsuits, that's what I'm telling you. Take a look at that, because I think that's probably the weak point for him. But ultimately, what a wonderful thing. 888-876-5593. Well, Brian actually requested another song, too, and since he told me about Afro Man, I'm going to play it for him coming up next on WGN Radio.
You to me are sweet as roses in the morning. You to me are soft as summer rain, and don't in love we share. That's something rare. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains tumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. That's the way. That's the way it's meant to be. All around, I see the purple shades of evening. And on the ground, shadows fall, and once again you're in my arms. So tenderly, the sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains crumble before we say goodbye.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there it is, Unit 4 Plus 2, not the original 45 version, but that's what I had on the computer, so that's what you get. And in fact, Brian, who not only requested that, but suggested Afro Man, is calling us. So, Brian, wait, let me get my magic twanger. I'm still working with multiple screens here and other problems. But anyway, Brian, welcome back to WGN Radio.
And thank you for taking my call, Raleigh, and greetings from the far southwest side to the even farther southwester side.
Yes,
and
indeed.
I hope you and yours are all doing fine.
Can't complain.
As far as my thoughts on Afro Man, I am actually generally a police supporter. However, I only support honest police. Police who are, shall we say, morally defective, bent, cracked, or just flat out stupid. No. My taxes are high enough without these idiots running up my bills higher, or one of them deciding I'm not white enough and giving me a tune-up on the side of the road. So, you know, no mas for bad cops.
Yeah, and you know, that's the minority, obviously, and I think most good cops would stand right alongside you in that. It doesn't help anybody. It is the minority, but when it happens, and in this particular raid, kidnapping, that's a little over the top. So I think it's great he did this, but like I say, I think some of that merchandise might be his Achilles heel.
It might be, but then again, Seth Farland, he has better grounds to sue than any of those sheriff's deputies, and it comes down to who created the image.
Well, yeah, but he's got...
The image was created by Afro Man through his security cameras in his house, where he has the right to take pictures of anything,
right,
by uniformed law enforcement officers serving a warrant, at least some of whom had to realize that the warrant was applied for and sworn to under less than proper circumstances. So they don't own their images. Afro Man does. Now, his merchandise also pictures Seth MacFarlane's Family Guy protagonist, and Seth MacFarlane actually has two or three different cartoon shows, all of which features a profoundly round middle-aged white dude, which is where Officer Lemon Poundcake, gets identified as being a real Family Guy.
Yeah,
so Seth MacFarlane might have grounds for suit, since at least some of the merchandise, both apparel and coffee mugs, actually has the Seth MacFarlane Family Guy posing with two of the more profoundly round Adams County Sheriff's deputies.
And something tells me Seth isn't going to do a darn thing. And I'd almost, I'd be very surprised if he even weighed in on it. But
he'd figure the boost in his sales more than he'd get for suing Afro Man for a share of his sales. So, yeah, he's crying all the way to the bank.
Exactly. So I don't see anything there. And, of course, the reason the cops are upset is they're being ridiculed, period. But I think...
Well, they're worthy of ridicule.
Well, understood.
Go after some real bad guys. Go after some school shooters. Go after some real drug gangsters.
Yeah.
You know, don't go after, some R&B rap singer who moves out to the middle of BF Nowhere in Adams County to partake in stuff that isn't really illegal anymore and is actually making a living and paying his taxes, you know, and... While you're at it, don't go confiscating, you know, stuff through civil asset forfeiture or any of that other misbehavior stuff.
It's going to be interesting, and I love the video, and the song is just great. So, good luck to them. I can't wait to hear the final upshot.
Yeah, I wish it wasn't the first shot in the first place, but then again, Until now, his biggest hit was When I Got High, and that's, what, 20
right.
years old now?
Right. No, I mean, this is the best thing that ever happened to him, you know. And it puts Adams County on the map. Well, no, not the way they want, but most people can't find it on a map. And not like it's on an interstate. And, of course, it's to the southeast of Cincinnati.
Yeah, and that's all sorts of interesting right there, because that's on the... That's right on the Ohio River, and on the other side of the Ohio River is Kentucky, and most people from Kentucky would probably rather that you forgot about that, I'm sure.
Well, we'll see. All right. Well, it'll be fun to watch, and thanks again for letting me know. I never would have known otherwise.
And thank you for playing around.
My pleasure. Thanks. All right. So good stuff. Fun stuff. I had no idea. Well, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large. Probably nothing about Afro Man. Then we'll get back to Tom in Covington, who wants to talk about Ampex tape recorders. We can do that. Plenty to talk about there. But whatever is on your mind is fair game. So call me on WGN Radio. Of course, that's the Miracles. And Johnny Goen mentioned that record a while ago, and Jim in New Hampshire said, yeah, that's what I want to hear. And that was actually quite a while ago. But finally, yeah, good things come to those who wait. 1964 on Tamla, made it to number 9 on the R&B charts, 35 on the pop charts, and just a fine little record. All right, so 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. And he hung around for last night for hours, and we didn't get on the phone, so we will tonight. First thing, talking to Tom in Covington. What's up tonight, Tom?
Well, before I forget, the best live concert I ever heard was Sergio Mendez.
Yeah, when?
In the 70s, and I don't know if it was Sergio Mendez 66 or 67, but one of those.
Yeah.
That was by far the best live concert I've ever heard.
Well, good. Good. With, with Chicago's
Trio
own...
Live in 1960, yeah. That was good.
Yeah, with Chicago's own Lanny Hall with Sergio Mendez at the time.
Yeah, she's the one that I like to hear.
Yeah. All right, so we're talking Ampex. What about them?
Okay, I'm just curious. I've got one of these monsters that I'm sure was used to record a lot of 45s and who knows what. And... it probably was the same type machine that Cosimo Matassa recorded all of his famous 45s on. It possibly could have been his because I bought it from somebody.
What is it? What is it? A 350 or a 601? What is it?
I don't know what the number is, and I haven't looked at it in years.
That's what we need to know. The first one was the 200A, and that's still around by a few people. That's the one, actually, that Les Paul got a copy of that one, and that shipped in the late 40s, and originally it was used to record Bing Crosby's show. And ABC used them, and the tape they were using was 3M. It was not Ampex tape at that point, but it was the first time a delayed radio broadcast had been aired on tape. And so, obviously, that was going to see disc cutting lathes go away and tape come in. But my favorite Ampex story came a couple of years later. It was actually around 1954. They had developed the first videotape machine. And this was amazing. There was only one problem. they couldn't get the tape to work. So they had the machines and no tape. And it was actually a guy in Opelika, Alabama, J. Herbert Orr. And he's the one who came up with usable tape in time for the 1955 NAB. And that's why Ampex tape was located in Opelika, Alabama. So that was the story there.
Yeah, I was wondering about the machine. I know this one, I can't remember if it's quarter inch or half inch tape.
It's probably quarter inch.
It's probably full track, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it would run at 7.5 and 15, 15
right.
And
right.
A half.
15, not no half in it. 7.5 and 15.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's I bought it from the Macintosh dealer. He had some used equipment sitting on a shelf, mm-hmm. and I looked at it and said, what do you want for that thing? He said, make me an offer. So I said, 50. He said, take it away.
Well, you know, I think some of the most interesting ones, and it lasted forever, that 601 was a wonderful machine, and that 350 was a wonderful machine. But you've got a lot of different possibilities there. Like I say, going back to that 200A in the 40s, which did the Bing Crosby show, and then Les Paul got a copy of that and started to overdub and all the things for which he became famous. And they went into the 300s and the 400s. But I would say the 350 and the 601 would be the two where I'd be, you know, kind of drooling.
Now the I got the transport and the preamp. Somebody had mm-hmm. had already kited off with the power supply, but that's mm-hmm. the simplest part to
yes,
replace.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Not so, that I'm planning to resurrect it, but it's a good museum piece.
Yeah.
And I've had it for 30 or 40 years. I don't know how long. That's been,
yeah.
been years since I've seen it because it's buried in the back somewhere.
Well, yep. Well, you've got a collector's item to be sure. Like I say, if it's a 200A, but even those, they're not as pricey as you'd think. You know, yeah, it might go for $7,500 or something like that. But I mean, that, you know, that was the first Ampex. That should have gone for a lot more than that, but they don't. And then, of course, when you start getting into the 24 tracks and all that, you're into bigger machines, to say the least. And then, you know, video, don't even start me. Those 2-inch videos
yeah,
were just
I got
huge.
Another doorstop back there from the late 50s. It's called a Berlant Concertone.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a brake problem. Boy, you put a reel of tape on that thing, the brakes don't work, and you're going to wind up with a reel of tape all over the floor.
Well, you know, that actually is not unusual. Scully designed them that way. And with Scully, if you didn't rock it back and forth with fast forward and rewind continually, if you just hit stop, you were going to throw that tape. And I can't tell you how many of those that I threw just inadvertently hitting stop. So, you know, that was a common problem.
Well, I was not... I think I got that machine... I traded some Buffalo nickels to a guy that had that thing.
Yep.
And,
well,
you know, it's an interesting looking doorstop.
Yep. Harder to find the tape now than the machines, truth be known.
Yeah. Well, I've got some boxes of brand new tape, and I've got a lot of used tapes. You'd be surprised what used to turn up on tapes. A friend of mine that I used to buy records from had a record store, and he'd pick up boxes of used tape, and most of it was, a lot of it was acetate, which I'd throw in a can because
right.
it didn't weather well in this humidity.
No, it doesn't. And that's in general the problem with tape in terms of how was it stored, because when you're talking about something that old, very often it can be an absolute disaster. All right, so what else?
Yeah, but, so I just thought it was interesting having this machine, which is a, no matter which model it is, it's a good museum piece.
Well, it's actually good to, you know, most of the stuff I have is usable, and I keep them usable and keep them repaired and restored and all that. So I would not call it a museum piece. If it's a 601, I'd fix that puppy and use it.
Yeah, well, I got I don't know, I probably got at least a dozen. No, more than a dozen reel-to-reel machines, and the best one is a Pioneer Elite, which I think was about $1,000 new.
Was that a quarter-track machine?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And for quarter track machines, Pioneer is one of my favorite. I've got a few of those too. And they did some nice quarter track stuff, but it is quarter track, you know, so that's going to limit some of what you do on it.
But it was amusing to me. But of course, I walked into a Goodwill store just a few miles from here, and I saw three reel-to-reel machines, a Pioneer.
Oh, my God.
And I think the other one was a TIAC.
Oh, my God. I would have bought those puppies. I don't care.
I put them all three in the grocery basket.
Yeah.
And I'm getting ready to check out, and this little old guy comes through the front door, and he looks in that basket, and he especially sees that Pioneer. Well, I was coming back to get that. I said, well, you don't pass that up. If you see those machines sitting there for 10 or 15 bucks a piece, you just take them and run.
That's exactly right.
So.
All right.
I paid $12.50 plus tax for that Pioneer.
Oh, God, be still
and
my
everything
heart.
Everything on it works.
Oh, be still my heart. Yes, yes, yes,
and
yes.
And I know a friend of mine was trying to get rid of stuff that her husband or somebody had, and it sounded like she might have another Pioneer Elite. I said, well, if that machine that you've got is a Pioneer Elite and somebody doesn't want two arms and two legs for it, I might take it.
Right. Well, good deal. Happy hunting. And always good to talk to you. Thanks.
Okay, and I don't know. I didn't hear too many live concerts, but that Sergio Mendez was beat the others by a mile.
That's great. All right.
And I guess I've got just about all the Sergio Mendez I ever ran across, and I got two from, I think somebody got it off of eBay, was two albums recorded in Brazil, and I don't think ever issued here.
Well, most of it has been, sometimes under different names and stuff like that, but there's a lot of good stuff. When he was young and had Sergio Mendes Trio, Tower put that out, and then later A&M released the same album as Brazil 65. So you can find things in different ways. And then one of the early albums, The Swinger from Rio, which was interesting. So there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think I got one or two of the Tower albums.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, of course, was Capital's budget line. All right, good to talk to you, Tom. Thank you for calling, and sorry I didn't get to you last night.
Well, that's the way it works.
Yeah, you betcha. I appreciate you waiting. Thank you.
Okay,
right.
Bye.
So, and Tom is a big radio lover, so I don't think he has a Wi-Fi radio, because I'm not sure about his broadband connection, but I'll tell you what. If you've got a broadband connection and you don't have a Wi-Fi radio, you are missing out. Yeah, I'm just very grateful that this technology didn't exist when I was a child, because I never would have left my room. That'd be it. I'll tell you, if you are looking for things to listen to, and maybe it's a thing you DX, but things don't come in as clearly as you like, or not at all. Maybe there's nothing local to you don't want to hear. Well, I'll tell you, with a Wi-Fi radio, the world is truly your oyster. It is just tremendous. All you need is a broadband connection, and doesn't matter what it is. As long as you've got broadband, that's all you need. And then there's a lot of Wi-Fi radios from which to choose, but I recommend the CC Wi-Fi 3. It is terrific. The audio is really good. And if you're saying, well, I listen to streams on my smartphone, yeah, and it sounds like it too, doesn't it? Well, you'll hear terrific audio on this. But not only that, it's very easy to use. It's intuitive. When I got the latest one, I got it for John so he could listen while he screens your calls. And it was one of those things where just, you know, plug it in and it does its thing and you're there in seconds. You don't have to read any manual. I mean, you could, but you won't need to. It's you don't sign up for an app. You know, you don't have ads on the screen. There's no monthly fee. And it's got a full-size remote control. It's just great. And you will hear over 30,000 radio stations and audio streams, maybe some that aren't even terrestrial radio, of course. So whatever you want to hear, and I don't care what you're into. You know, you want the Piero Umiliani channel. Yes, that's right. Italian lounge music. You can get it. It's online. You know, we talk about early Sergio Mendes. You know, you want early Bossa Nova. Several streams online. No matter what it is you like, you'll find it online. So it's a question of picking a great Wi-Fi radio. Now, in addition to something that's easy to use, which is the most important part, let's face it. The next thing is something that has great reception. And not reception like radio reception, obviously, because you're not doing that, but a Wi-Fi radio works on your wireless access point, your little wireless signal. And as you know, if you've got a wireless signal, all things are not created equal. Some connect really easily and others, well, the connection may drop or the speed may buffer or whatever. Well, the nice thing about the CC Wi-Fi is it has superior reception. If there's a Wi-Fi signal, it's going to pick it up. You will be able to use this at a much greater distance from your access point or your router than you will with anything else. So it's just great. You can go online and go to ccradio.com and look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. Or you can call them. And they're there 24 hours a day, and they'd love to talk to you. And you can order online or just get all your questions answered. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. And that's great because the customer service is second to none. But the website has great information as well as great products, and I think you'll really enjoy that. Now, you can go to Amazon for quicker shipping, of course. But for the real deal experience, go to the Sea Crane Company, ccradio.com. You can also sign up for their newsletter. You'll be the first to know about exclusive offers, including stuff on the CC Wi-Fi 3. So check it out. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Lady love, your love is peaceful like a summer's breeze. My lady love, with love that's tender as a baby's touch, you give me all of the things that I need so much. You're my world, lady love. Whoa. Lady love, your love is cooling like the winter snow. My lady love, with love that's cozy as a fire's glow. And I keep on needing you, girl, a little more and more. And I thank you, my lady love. You know, it's not easy keep love going smooth. People are people and they all have their moods. But it's so nice just to have someone like you who wants a smooth and easy thing.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's Lou Rawls, and yes, that's for Stacy, one of her favorite records, and we're going to talk to her in a few minutes here. And Lou Rawls, it came out in 77 on an album. When you hear Lou, you've heard it all. But what's interesting to me about that song is the gal who wrote it was actually one of the background singers on the song, and she also was a co-producer of it, Yvonne Gray. So you'll hear her singing along with Barbara Ingram and a couple other gals on that, and did pretty well in the 20s on most of the charts in the U.S., and they actually got probably highest in Canada, got to number 13 there. All right, so a big AC record, too, on the Adult Contemporary charts. That's a top five record. So 888-876-5593. That takes us to Fran, and Fran is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Oh, my God. I did not... Gary told me a little bit about that story,
yeah. But,
you know, I was kind of half listening, but then... That is hilarious and good for him. I mean, you know, I'm not like your previous caller. I'm not usually one. I mean, I'm not one of these people that wants to defund the police. That makes absolutely no sense. And we have a lot of people like that around here that want to do that.
Oh, do you ever?
And I'm not one of them. But, you know, stupid is stupid. And,
yeah.
I'm not even sure how they would have, well, I guess it wouldn't be too hard to get a warrant against someone like that, but...
But kidnapping? Yeah, I'd like to know what...
Kidnapping? Yeah. I was just going to say, where did that come from?
I can't imagine. But hopefully in discovery in these various lawsuits, we're going to find out.
Yeah, well, I like a lot of his stuff. In fact, when Gary and I, because he used to live in Galveston, and so... You know, I used to visit him out there, and we listened to his station. Oh, it was one of, I can't remember what it was, but anyway, they had this house party show.
Yeah.
And they did their own little edit of it, of Because I Got High, and it
right.
is hilarious.
Right.
And I haven't been able to find it anywhere. Have you ever listened to, I know it's not your usual thing, but have you ever heard Because I Got High?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just, you know, I know that's not your usual.
No, but it's just too good, if you know what I mean. It's sort of like they're more comedy than they are music to me.
Yeah, they are to me too. And of course, you know, I love anything novelty song and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Those things would go great on Dr. Demento, or at least what he could play without censoring.
Right.
But anyway, what they did on this house party show was in certain parts of it, like, I'll leave it to your imagination, they used different sound effects. One was a blood pressure cuff.
Good.
The other one was a siren when he's like, I was going to run for the cops, you know.
Yeah.
But I got high, and he goes, you know, the siren, and just different sound effects for some of the different things that were happening. And I wish I could find some way to find a copy of that. I've never seen it, so they must have done it themselves. I've never heard it on any other station.
Yeah.
But it makes the song even more hilarious. And he's done a lot of funny stuff. I've always liked him.
Now, when you were listening to House Party, is that Open House Party? Is that John Garabedian show?
Well, let me ask Gary. Gary, where was that house party? Was it
100.7 house party?
Well, 100.7 house party.
Were they doing it locally rather than the syndicated version?
Was it locally rather than syndicated?
It was a local station. It was a radio station.
Okay. Yeah, it was a local radio. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was owned by who?
Univision.
Univision. Thank you very much. All right. So, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about that? But, yeah, there was a guy out of Worcester, actually, somewhere near Boston, John Garabedian, who had a weekend radio show for 30 years, and it was called Open House Party. So I thought, well, maybe. Anyway, probably not.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember that. I just remember it's, you know, I've slept since then. That was about 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Right.
You know, but, man, this is absolutely hilarious. You've made me laugh tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, good. Well, I'll certainly keep you posted because I'll be very curious to see how this goes. I can't imagine he'll lose with regard to the parody, but with regard to the merchandise, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that will be. Although, Brian did have a point. They took it at his place. He can take a picture of whatever he wants.
Well, except when you get into transformative, and that's sometimes where things go awry. But we'll see. I'll keep you posted, and I appreciate the call.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye. So we will get to Stacy at the top of the hour, next hour. Don't go away, Stacy. And we got Wayne on the Space Coast. Oh, good. That'll be fun. And let's see. I believe we might have Brian again. I'm not sure. But we've got room for you. There's a line open right now, 888-876-5593. Two more hours tonight on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Speaking of instant replay, Dan Hartman, Blue Sky Record, 1978, number 44 on the R&B charts, 29 on the pop charts. That was a wonderful little song. He, of course, had been in the Edgar Winter Group. Yeah, Easy Street, anyone? All right, so 888-876-5593 takes us to Stacy from Algonquin, who's got an update for us tonight. So what's going on, Stacy?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm here. How about yourself?
Oh, good, good. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday on Tuesday morning.
Good.
And I got a really, really nice ride. A really nice man, Al, and he picked me up in his electric blue Prius.
Very nice.
A car is what I like instead of a van.
All right. Very good, very good. And how was the report?
Oh, very good. So he got me there. Oh, plenty of time. I was early, and I checked in. And then one of the nurses, it was like a young girl that called me in. You know, they do the weight thing. Mm-hmm. So I think what they have, I guess if young girls, they have to, if they want to be a nurse or something, I guess they have to go to the doctor's office. So she took my vitals and everything, and I said, isn't Judy or Petra here? And she said, oh, yeah. She says, this is my last day. So I think she was in training.
Oh, very good.
Anyway, I did not have to wear a mask in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to wear a mask at the doctor's,
mm-hmm.
which was so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then in comes Dr. Peterson. He's not wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And he shakes my hand, and I said, oh, Dr. Peterson. I said, this is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, it's so good to see you. And without the mask. And then Petra came in. Oh, God, I can't tell you what it is without the mask.
All right.
And,
good.
And he said to me, both of them, they said, well, you look way better.
Good.
He said, we think, so I said, I do. So I said, well, I got my hair cut. And he said, I mean, my, so I said, I'm still, you know, not over things. You know,
of course not. Of course not.
But he said, but you look better, you know. Good. And so I said, I know I have to, you know, keep moving forward and everything. And I said, I have a couple of people that are helping, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we just went over my meds again.
Yeah.
And then I was telling him about a couple of things that happened when the lights went out. And I said, our police and firemen are so great.
Yeah.
They're so great. They just come out and they check on you.
That's wonderful.
And I said, I'm going upstairs. And I said, sometimes, you know, the weather gets me. And, you know, when it just hurts your bones and everything.
Of course. Yes, absolutely.
And I said, but, you know, I'm trying to move around all the time and do stuff. And he checked my feet.
Good.
He took off my sneakers, and he took off my... He's such a good doctor.
Well, yeah, no, he should. He should look at your feet, because you've got diabetes, and this is an important thing, and you had a foot problem, so how do the feet look?
Where I hurt my leg.
Yes, so how do the feet look?
So he checked what he does. He has this little thing that he puts on the top of my feet, on the bottom, and underneath, and he says, can I feel that?
Right. Sure.
So I said, yes, I can, which is a good thing.
Yes. Yes. No neuropathy. That's excellent. And you probably got good pedal pulse, too.
And then he checked, like, the middle part of both legs. And I said, they're so bruised up and everything.
Mm.
And I said, this is the one that he had. I took the antibiotic.
Right.
So he said, you know what I'm going to give you, Stacy? So I told him, I said, I still have the cream and the Neosporin. He says, no. He says, what I'm going to call into Walgreens is a special cream for your feet that is going to moisturize them,
mm-hmm.
and heal them.
Mm-hmm.
And he says you use it twice a day.
Okay.
So I said, oh, wonderful. So he said, and that should help your feet. And then he put my socks back on.
Yeah.
And he put my sneakers back on. And then he said, Petra, he says, you don't need to do the urine thing.
Okay.
And he said, all of you, Petra will do, and you've got all your shots.
Okay.
And they said, if you want to take the shingles, you could at Walgreens. But I'm thinking,
I'm not a big fan.
What is that?
I'm not Shingrix. I'm not a big fan. Obviously, I'm a talk show host. Don't trust a talk show host when it comes to your medical decisions. But in general, I'm not a fan.
Because when I was little, I had
you had chickenpox. Everybody did, and this idea that one day it will grow up and become shingles. Yeah, well, maybe. And even if you have the vaccine, you may still get the shingles. So, you know. What can I say other than I'm not a fan?
No, I don't think I'd go for that anyway.
Yeah.
So then let's see, we went over that and I told him, I said, I just, you know, I have to call the new foot doctor, make the appointment. I said, I'm looking for a new dentist, and I said, I did the other one. You know, I have to make all these appointments.
Well, that's all right. So the blood sugar looks good and the blood pressure looks good?
Yes, they took my blood. What else? Okay. Oh, and then he had me. He said, Stacy, can you come over to the table? So he's such a gentleman. So I said, sure, I'll get up. I said, I'll come. So I came over and I just hopped on the table. So I said, is this good? And he just wanted to check my heart and everything.
Yeah.
And he said, everything sounds good.
Excellent. Good
and
news.
And I just went back, and then he said, Petra is, but you have all your shots. He said, she's going to take the blood in here, your blood work.
All right.
And he says, you stop at the front and just have them give you a card for 6 months.
Yes, and when you get the blood work back, ask for the results.
Oh, yeah, I already got them.
Oh, then how was your A1C?
Oh, and I told him to have a good Easter. But then when Petra, so she took my blood, this time in my right arm, because somehow my right arm, everybody chooses that one.
Well, they like your veins better.
Yeah, exactly. So then I just happened to ask her this. I said, Petra, I said, with everything that's going on, and I said, do you think I'll find another soulmate?
Oh, God.
And she said, Stacy, I know you're going to find a soulmate.
God. No. The doctor's office is not the place to ask for spiritual advice.
No. She's really not. Anyway, so, okay, so this morning, so I called Walgreens, and they, you know, had to order it.
Mm-hmm.
So then this morning, I answer the phone, and it's Petra.
Mm-hmm.
And says, Stacy, I have your results.
Good.
She said, everything was good, my kidneys, and she said, your diabetes was excellent. She said, you went down again.
What is it?
What I started out with months and months ago, it was like an 8, went down to a 7, went down to 6.6. This time I was 6.4.
Right direction. That's good.
Yeah, and she said it's wonderful, and she said everything else looks good, and and I fasted for like 9 hours.
Yes.
So I was trying to hang on, and I was so dizzy, and I was trying to take water, and when I got in the office, though, I said I was a little dizzy. So he said, Petra, get her an apple juice
before you did the blood work.
No.
Okay.
Oh,
right.
Just a little bit.
Oh God. All right.
No, I didn't take. I didn't take a lot because I got a really good number.
Yeah, very good. All right. So all's well.
And okay, what else did? So that went excellent.
Some
got my 6 months.
Okay.
And.
It's a good report.
Yeah, and I just. No, I like them very. Everybody's very, very nice.
Good.
And I ride back. And one thing about Al, I thanked him, and he waited until I got in the house, and he made sure I closed the door. He didn't take off before he knew I was in the house.
Well, good. And there you were, safe and sound.
Yeah, and then Karen came today when she finished up the washing, and she did, you know, shopping.
Okay.
And what else did she... got my mail and stuff, so she's very helpful.
Well, it's all good.
And I talked to Tracy. She's gonna, mm-hmm. they're gonna come again this coming weekend, so we do more
all right.
stuff for the veterans and for the house, and oh my gosh.
Well, it's a good
I'm
report.
Trying to keep everything straight.
Yeah, well, that's all right. No, it's a good report. You've got reason to celebrate.
Oh, do you like Lionel Richie?
No. Well, there were a couple things when he was with the Commodores I actually liked. Zoom. I liked Zoom a lot. Lionel Richie as an artist, for the most part, no.
No.
Because of what he's... Not because of his voice or anything like that. With me, it's all about song and production. And I think there might be one Lionel Richie I'd be willing to play. And that would be about it.
Did you pick out another Alan Jackson?
I have. I'm not going to play it tonight because it's not on this computer. It is on my other one. But I actually did pick out another Alan Jackson for you. But you got Lady Love tonight, so you'll get Alan Jackson on another night. And I'll get you a Lionel Richie that I'm willing to play.
And can I ask one more question and I'll let you go?
Okay.
When are you getting Marianne back? And when are you getting the other lady where she can tell...
medical
like
stuff.
Like what you were in a past life and stuff.
Well, are you talking about, what's her, Julie
Is it
Ryan?
Julie
Ryan, yeah.
Yes.
I'm not sure when Julie will be back on, but she will. And Marianne, we've been playing phone tag. We've been trading phone messages. Hopefully I'll catch up with her again. But I will play you the one Lionel Richie record that I can stomach. It's Love Will Conquer All.
Okay, that's fine.
All right.
That's good.
All right. Well, it's a great report, Stacey, and I'm thrilled to hear it, and keep me posted.
Oh, I will. You
All
and
right.
John, you take care.
All right,
and,
you too.
And blessings for everybody. And Scotty, you call in.
Yes. We're all worried about Scotty.
We want to hear from you.
That's right, we do. And a number of people, I'm getting email as well, and I'm not 100% sure what we can do. We've tried to call. We may try to write, but other than that, I am very concerned about Scotty. So if you know Scotty, could you let us know how he's doing? And if you are Scotty, why haven't you called? Hopefully we'll find
out. You have to, Raleigh, you know what you have to say? I said to myself the whole day, it's going to be a good appointment. You always have to be positive and keep
on
saying,
absolutely.
Everything's going to be wonderful.
All right. Well, we'll count on that. Thanks, Stacey.
You guys take care.
You too. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. So Stacey has spoken. It's going to be wonderful. Indeed. Yeah, I will play Love Will Conquer All because, you know, there's one Lionel Richie record I can stomach, hard to believe. We'll get to Wayne on the Space Coast, back to videotape. Eduardo in Midway. Oh, the Gwyneth Paltrow trial. And, Leah talked about that one last night, so maybe we got an update there. Brian on the far southwest side and Sam in Gurney has some requests. There's still a line available for you. One. So grab it now. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. That's supposed to be Love Will Conquer All. I have no... Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I have no idea why we're not hearing Love Will Conquer All. That's... maybe it's for the best. I don't know. But let's try it here and see if we get anything. Nothing. All right. Well, it should be playing. I guess it is not, however. All right. And it was the one Lionel Richie record I liked. Oh, well. I'll see what I can do. Maybe during the news I can resurrect it. But probably if I try, I will. But in the meantime, Wayne is on the Space Coast. What's happening, Wayne? Oh, wait a minute. Don't go anywhere, Wayne. I just resurrected it. Long version, wouldn't I?
Out here, me and you. Reaching out to each other.
medley of the Lionel Richie records I like, but it was a fine record. Greg Fillinghames co-wrote it with Lionel Richie and Cynthia Weil, of all people. So there's a little bit of writing royalty there. Number 2 on the R&B charts and 9 on the pop charts. Motown, of course, 1986. So yeah, that and Zoom when they were the Commodores. That's it for Lionel Richie and me. But I thought Love Will Conquer All was a terrific record. So 888-876-5593. We will get to Wayne on the Space Coast in moments, and Eduardo and Brian and Sam, and hopefully you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Time you're thinking of me. Life is great, you're all I'm living for. This is my countdown to love. Oh, this is my countdown to love. We haven't been in heaven before the night is through. I play no tricks, I'm always straight with you. Five loves alive in our hearts every day. This is my countdown to love. Oh, this is my countdown to love. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Down, down, low. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Greg Fillinghames. I mentioned that he co-wrote that Lionel Richie record, and I thought, let's play some of him. Kenny Vance wrote this one, actually, and sounds like it, doesn't it? A fine song all the way around. And Kenny has a documentary that he'll screen. I want to have him on. And John made the mistake of saying, add him to your call list. And I said, I don't want him to die. Yeah, because that's usually the only way you get off my list, because I'm very bad at calling people back. Yeah, that's the understatement of the 21st century. And that said, I'll have John call him, and then hopefully we'll have him on, because I hear it's a good documentary. All right, with all that in mind, Wayne is on the Space Coast. What's happening tonight, Wayne?
Oh, hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right.
I'm good to hear from you again. Yeah, as you know, I work here at the Kennedy Space Center on the east coast of Florida.
Yes.
And last week, I was sent down to our competition to the European Space Agency called Ariane. It's in French Guiana.
Wow. Okay.
And yes, that's the competition. That's the alternate space center. Got in one of the security vehicles, and the AM radios are blah-punked.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they do not have AM on them. It's medium wave.
Of
I tuned
course.
In 720, and I was actually hearing WGN down there.
Yeah.
But it was not good. I could barely hear, and it was being covered by some gospel station in English.
Okay.
And that made it kind of difficult, but it was kind of good to hear something from back in the U.S. But what I wanted to ask about was, since I was down there, the television was so boring. I watched this documentary, and it was about the JFK assassination.
Uh-huh.
And you're talking about videotape. And I know the assassination occurred on Friday, November the 22nd, 1963.
Yes.
Did anybody have, was there videotape available? Magnetic videotape?
Oh, yeah, there absolutely was videotape available. Now, what's interesting is that if you go 2 weeks later, you not only got a videotape recorder, but you got one capable of instant replay. Because December 7th, 1963 is the first time instant replay was on a machine, and that really put televised football on the map. And that was Tony Verna from CBS came up with that. But in any event, yes, videotape existed from 1955 on. Like I say, when Ampex put the recorder together, it was J. Herbert Orr who came up with the tape. And it was reel-to-reel. Now, the problem is you couldn't get this very portable. If you've ever seen a 2-inch reel-to-reel videotape recorder, you know that they couldn't have had one on the scene. There were no cassettes or anything like that.
That's what I was wondering, because when I watched the documentary, I remember one of the reporters saying we had so much trouble getting pictures from the assassination. We had wet stock, and we were trying to put it on the air, and you could see the wet spots on the TV, on the television, and so there's no magnetic tape. And I kept thinking, you know, something as big as the President of the United States coming through Dallas, Texas, you would have thought some TV station would have had some type of better recording than Abraham Zapruder had on this crummy 16-millimeter recorder, but I guess it, like you say, it wasn't portable. There was nothing portable then,
no,
was there?
No. The first commercial broadcast quality video that replaced kinescopes was that two-inch, it's quadruplex, and Ampex made them, and they were actually sold to stations in 1956. And like I say, they were at the NAB convention in Chicago, and they had no tape. So it was thank God for J. Herbert Orr, who made the tape work. And CBS bought the first one, and what it was a delay of, you remember that 15-minute black and white newscast, Douglas Edwards and the News? So I used to watch that every night. So that's what they delayed for Pacific time. And then NBC bought one, and the first thing they did was Truth or Consequences, which I thought was a very noble use, actually. I liked that show. And then 58, they were experimenting with color, but of course, you know, we don't even need to go there. But the big thing was, like I say, December 7th, 1963, Tony Verna came up with the instant replay, and they used it at the Army-Navy game. So, you know, that was the deal. But if you looked at these machines, they were the size of a wall. You know, there was nothing portable about them. And we've got a lot of one-inch machines, which came out years later, and they're big too, believe me. But the two-inch, you could not do anything portable with it.
Oh, I can understand that, because my uncle, who's long since been deceased, he was a engineer for WLW Radio in Cincinnati.
When was he there?
When I was he was there in 1961.
Till when?
You're probably about 1964.
Okay.
And I was just a kid then. And he had the first, I remember it was an Ampex video recorder, had the big 2-inch reels on.
Right, exactly.
And when you turn that thing on, it would take it 5 minutes to warm up, and you could fry ham and bacon on top of this thing.
And the fan noise, yes, absolutely. And it was there were 14-inch reels, and they were 2-inch wide. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And it was very high speed. I know the tape speed was very high.
Yes, well, and, that was the original problem, and that's the problem Ampex ran into. When they made their machine, like I say, they made it work, but they couldn't get the tape to work. Well, the reason they couldn't get the tape to work is the only tape they had that would work was running 100 feet per second. And obviously this was a problem. And that's where I say J. Herbert Orr came into the picture and said, no, it doesn't have to be quite that fast. And, they fixed it.
I was just amazed when I heard you talking about it tonight. I'm out here at the Space Center, and you're the WGN is the only station we get at, around here in Florida that's worth listening to. Mm-hmm. And a little plug there.
When I was watching,
I pulled out a videotape about three nights ago after I got back home from Guyana, and I watched some of my dad's reel-to-reel on this machine. It still works. I still have it. It has old RCA phono jacks in the back.
Yeah.
And they plug into an old television set that I had. And the last thing he recorded was the last episode of What's My Line that had Dorothy Kilgallen on it.
Yeah.
And it would have been the last probably episode that she filmed before she was before she was dead.
Murdered, yes.
And John Daly was on there as the host, and and it was black and white, but it was very good, but the tape just didn't last long.
Right. Right. But yeah, absolutely. And the 2-inch stuff was all that was available until 1976. The 1-inch tape didn't come out till 76. So anywhere before that, it was not portable.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. This thing looks like it's the size of a freezer. I mean, it's huge.
Well, a freezer, that's one of the smaller models of freezer. But yeah, exactly. They do. They take up like a wall.
I had this thing hooked up from RCA phono jacks that my dad originally had, from RCA phono out to the input of an old Zenith television, a 1964 color television set that he bought.
Yes.
So that, you know, it was pretty good. The video of now the Zenith color TV did not have RCA in.
Right.
It had the two little wires on the back where you would hook like an antenna up to it, but it was good.
Yeah.
The quality was excellent. But anyway, I just wanted to call and tell you that I appreciated that, and I wanted you to your engineers up there at WGN to know that if you can be heard in French Guiana, you're doing a good job.
No, absolutely. And that's for people who don't know, that's South America, basically. And you can. Mm-hmm. And you can hear some of the stuff from there here if you're a DXer, most notably, of course, Radio Bonaire and the Lesser Antilles on 800 if you're not blocked out by CKLW.
Oh, this station's 720 down there on close to Guyana. Was just he getting eat up with some holy roller state? And this guy was in English, and you'd come, you'd be real good. I heard you, and then you'd be great for about 5 or 6 minutes, and then this guy would come in and just totally rule out the whole transmission.
Yeah.
But it was good while it lasted, though.
That's the joy of the ionosphere layer. And it's interesting because as long as you don't have a digital radio, you can hear just about anything. But as you know, most of those countries are not 10 kilohertz spacing. So you don't get the stations on the same frequencies necessarily.
That is the wonder of, I wonder why American radios don't do that. I noticed in all the blah punk radios trucks, they were variable tuning. You could tune around it.
Yeah, well, of course. Well, you know, the deal of the 10 kilohertz spacing, they almost went away from that in this country. What the decision finally was that's when they created the EB, the extended band, that they'd go from, you know, 1610 to 1700,
mm-hmm.
because the other thing was going to 9 kilohertz spacing. And, oh, man, that would have been a disaster. But most of the world does use 9 kilohertz on medium wave.
It was a couple of times I heard you talking about, you were going into a lot of detail about the ionosphere and the E layer.
Yes.
And all that. And being a ham operator, I'm familiar with that. So, but here come the gospel stations started walking over you again.
Yeah.
So on the variable tuning, I would dial off to about 722 on the AM, and I'd start hearing you a little better.
Yeah, yeah.
And then get down to about 719, I could hear you, but finally the gospel station took over for a few minutes.
Well, that's the beauty of the ionosphere layer. You know, it's an equal opportunity problem. It reflects for a variety of reasons. But as long as you're willing to put up with things you don't want to hear, you can also hear the things you do want to hear.
I'm so tired of people out here talking about, well, you can stream, and I don't want to stream. I like to listen to AM on the AM radio.
Yeah, I'm with you. Absolutely.
It's fun. And I'll get off the air. I just wanted to let you know that I was hearing you in South America.
I think that's great. Well, thanks for trying, and thanks for listening, and always good to hear from you.
Okay.
Bye. Yeah, how neat. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And back in the day, Radio Bonaire used to play Top 40. And, you know, again, if you were, depending on where you lived, CKLW might have obliterated the whole thing. But if you were somewhere where Lesser Antilles was going to come in strong, that's before they realized they should just go paid religion all the time. Right? ZNS in the Bahamas was another one that was always doing top 40 in the mid-60s. All right. So 888-876-5593. Eduardo, Brian, Sam, and you coming up on WGN Radio.
Yeah.
woulda, coulda, shoulda, WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. That's Bobo Mr. Soul. Actually, it's Bo Williams, but he was still Bobo Mr. Soul on Obide, which was actually toward the end of the Obide catalog. That was a Skipper Lee's label in Houston, and the master was sold to High, and it did almost nothing, but it should have done something. Although Hitchhike to Heartbreak Row was a fine record, and it was Johnny Goen who mentioned that the other night and had to play it. So 888-876-5593 takes us to Eduardo in Midway. What's happening tonight, Eduardo?
Hey, Riley. Well, I had a nice evening at a networking event in downtown.
Some
place called Carnival.
Ah.
So, yeah, it was very nice to get out.
Good.
You know, at least for... Although I wish they would have them on the weekend, preferably, than during the week when you got to work.
Yeah.
Then you regret not going. Then you get mind games like, oh, how come I didn't go? So
right.
Yeah. But I don't know how much you covered yesterday with the color on this Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, we had Leah from Marcus Hook do a book report on what she saw on Court TV, and it was interesting.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be hard to beat. But
well, I don't know. Today's activity, did you watch it today? I know they had a lot of expert witnesses.
No. Unfortunately, I didn't get to because I didn't get a chance to. But so she's riding on a bunny hill. This guy is 76 years old. And they're trying to, instead of putting up witnesses like from family, friends, they're trying to get into his travels around the world.
Well, one of the things I think the witnesses were trying to do was make a case that his decline in cognitive facilities happened long before this.
Right, before the skiing ride.
Right, and so I think that was what their tact was, pretty much to say, hey, we're not doubting that he has lost a few of his marbles, we're just contending he lost them long before the skiing incident.
Yeah.
So that was the
I think $300,000 versus $1 and attorney fees.
That attorney fees is the interesting part, because when you look at the amount of expert witnesses she's brought into this, if she's victorious, it's going to cost him a lot of money.
Oh yeah, I mean, we're talking about a celebrity here.
Yeah, and the judge apparently is really holding some time constraints on this, and he's sort of saying, y'all better rest by tomorrow. He wants it to go to the jury tomorrow. So I don't know, you know, I don't know how much sway he'll have in that. I guess the judge has some, but, you know, I wouldn't think he could necessarily say that definitively. But nonetheless, they're hoping that the sides will rest tomorrow and closing arguments will convene.
Yeah, and this is like 7 years ago, right? Like 2016,
yeah,
7 years ago,
you're
something
right.
like that?
Right. It's been a while. And, you know, it takes a while for these trials to make it to, you know, to the jury as far as that goes. There's all the pre-depots and all that that kind of stuff. So it's going to be interesting. There's somewhat of a gamble that they didn't use. Oh, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Here I am blowing the news again. It was bound to happen. All right. Well, all this and more coming up next hour here on WGN Radio.
She say
she said, roll and I roll.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, those are Toronto's own The Diamonds, known, of course, for covering R&B, sometimes badly. But I thought She Say was just hilarious, made even more so by the video. And, yeah, it's what they did on Dick Clark's Saturday Night Beach Nut Show. I've mentioned this before. I'm sure it's on YouTube, and it's worth seeing. 1959, The Diamonds, She Say. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're talking to Eduardo in Midway about She Say, in this case, Gwyneth Paltrow saying. And apparently the defense has rested, and so tomorrow is closing arguments, and I just can't wait. So based on what you know, how do you think it's going to turn out, Eduardo?
I think Mr. Sanderson, I think they're going to rule in Mr. Sanderson's favor.
You do? Oh, man.
Yeah, I think it's going to go that way.
Why?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Well, because of his age, his injury, his broken ribs.
Well, were you paying attention to anything all the experts are saying?
Well, I really didn't watch the, other than just what I'm reading, based on what I'm reading.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you read that stuff of all the experts, they make him out to just be ridiculous. I mean, and that's being kind as far as that goes. So this will be interesting, where I think you're probably, and I don't know, obviously the jury will determine, but you're basing it on, mm-hmm. on him and his claims. And I wonder how much all this cavalcade of experts basically saying, get out of town, he's a yahoo, are gonna count.
Yeah, but then they didn't even bring up, correct me if I'm wrong, they didn't bring up like family members or friends.
They intentionally didn't do that, because the experts uh-huh. were so damning. You see, part of the problem was when the judge signaled that you don't have much more time, you better rest, that all of a sudden, you know, made it kind of a case where they had to determine, so who goes, you know. And they had a number of medical professionals, all who just eviscerated him. And as far as tearing apart some of his testimony, they had his daughters on, and basically they had to admit that, no, they hadn't really seen him in years, you know, after he retired. So they wouldn't have had a handle on what he would have been pre-accident anyway. And on the stand, he got up there and had to admit that, yes, I called her King Kong, meaning Paltrow and all that. So he didn't look too favorable to me, but that wasn't what swayed me. When I looked at these experts, one after another, just eviscerating him, I just can't imagine that the jury would say, oh, none of that matters.
But then why go into the travel thing about his...
Well, that's exactly why... It's exactly why I go into the...
On the medical side...
No, that is the medical side. What they're basically saying is that he was well enough to do all of this. You see, he's making it seem like he was, in fact, impacted to the point that life as he knew it was never the same. And so here they have pictures of him visiting Peru and floating down the Amazon and going to Morocco a few times, into Thailand, and hiking in southern [S2] Right. [S1] Utah, and taking pictures of moose on a hike, and showing him with a kayak and all this kind of stuff. It's pretty hard to be that active if you're so impacted. That's why they're showing that, you know, visiting the waterfall, doing a Zumba class, enjoying drinking with friends and skiing afterwards. So his idea that, you know, basically it destroyed my life, this is a pictorial that showed, hey, most of us would like a life that destroyed.
I'm almost thinking like they're insinuating like he has some kind of, I mean, even for his age, like some love thing for Mrs. Paltrow, but I could be wrong on that.
Okay, and again, I'm not following the trial closely, but I don't see any evidence of that.
Yeah.
What I do see is expert after expert who clearly don't have, I think, any personal gain in this, other than, of course, they're paid by one side or the other, and I recognize that. But regardless, the experts pretty much tear him a new one, so to speak. I don't see anything in that is easy to explain away, so to speak. So if the jury finds for him, I guess we're saying that, you know, half a dozen credentialed medical people saying impossible doesn't mean anything.
Right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, this is not necessarily 100% relatable, but one of the experts suggested he has dementia and that it started before this. So, going to be interesting. I don't know. I'll be fascinated to hear what the jury decides. And also, there's usually interviews with them to hear afterwards what they based it on. And again, I was not paying any attention to this, and it could have been very different in earlier days. But when you have neuroradiologists showing there's absolutely no brain damage following the crash, and on, it... it's a problem, to say the least. You know, I know they're going for. Herc's side was trying to strike negligence and all that. I don't know that they even need to worry about that. What I'm seeing doesn't give him a case. So we'll see.
See what happens.
Yes, and it could go anywhere. And again, I didn't sit there through the whole trial, and I don't know any of it. But as far as just looking at the reports of today's experts, I'm thinking, oh boy, he's been eviscerated.
All right, so you got a late start tomorrow because of the Hawks game, right?
I do, but probably by an hour. Yeah. So I am expecting we will convene at 11 p.m.
Sounds good. Okay.
All right. Maybe we'll know.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, yep. You too. Thanks. Appreciate it.
We'll know by tomorrow. Yeah.
Maybe.
I'll be listening.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends how long the jury takes. But if the jury only takes 20 minutes, well, we'll definitely know.
We'll comment. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Raleigh.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Yeah. So again, I'm only seeing the, you know, some of the transcripts of the experts, not the whole trial. And I realize part of this is always a personality contest. Unfortunately, it shouldn't be, but it is. And I have no idea if she came across likable or not. And anybody who thinks that isn't a factor, forget about it. It's a big factor. All right. We'll get to Sam. We'll get to Brian. We'll get to you too, coming up on WGN Radio. Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and oh man, that's for Karen. She loves her Manhattans, and of course, so do I. And you know, Manhattans to me, the ultimate was all the Carnival recordings. But the first thing they did on Deluxe that charted was "It's Gonna Take a Lot to Bring Me Back." That was 1970. And yeah, Give 'Em Up was on the flip side, which is also a good record. And Deluxe 115, I think. And it got to number 36 on the R&B charts. Didn't chart pop, but I thought, you know, while it ain't Carnival, it's sure not bad. I thought it was a fine, fine record. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And let's see what that's going to do here. That's going to take us to Sam and Gurney. What's happening tonight? Are you still there, Sam?
I'm here. And, Raleigh, you know what? Hold on a second. Let me think about this, baby. This is Elvis. I'm down in the jungle room down in Memphis. And tell you that Scylla and I were doing some... Scylla, you got some of them chocolate, and then some of them donuts, baby. You got some of them jelly donuts, baby. Bring them to me, honey.
That's it.
And,
that'll be the day.
But all joke aside, Raleigh, I was calling in because there's two things that were present on my mind. I wanted to know if you've ever done a search or a documentary. I saw a documentary on... let me think of it. Sugar Man. Searching for Sugar Man?
No, tell me about it.
Searching for Sugar Man, it's honestly the most fabulous documentary I've ever seen. And it depicts an artist out of Detroit, Michigan, that had disappeared off the scene from, he was like present in the late 50s and early 60s.
Steven Sagerman? Is that who it is? Yeah. I didn't think it was Sugarman, but it could be Sagerman. I think it's, if we're talking about
Sugar, that. Sugarman.
Yeah, but is it pronounced that way? I don't think it was originally.
His name was Richard. The documentary was either Searching for Sugarman or In Search of Sugarman.
Okay. All right, so what happened to him? Do we know?
Yeah, he disappeared off the scene. He was like he had live productions in Detroit.
Okay.
And he was doing very well during the like late 50s and early 60s, and he basically went off the grid. And in Africa, he became like an Elvis Presley. And it was incredible. I watched his documentary. It was so phenomenal. And anyway, people over there were like playing his music regularly, buying it. He had no knowledge of it. He was working as a construction worker in Detroit, Michigan, and he had no knowledge of the fact that he was like an Elvis Presley in Africa.
Okay.
So that's one of the things. If you can pull something up on him and play it, I would appreciate it.
All right.
And the other one that I wanted to ask you about was Stephen Sanchez, S-T-E-P-H-A-N, Stephen Sanchez, who is a recent artist who did I Found You.
Until I Found You.
Until I Found You.
Yeah.
It's such a spectacular video and musical. And I looked at it and I watched it. I thought, you know what? I mean, I'm like, this guy really deserves some credibility for for bringing about a sound video and song that depicts the life back in the 50s and 60s. And I both of those, I'm very, very proud of.
Well, I'll look for the Sugarman documentary. Not aware of that. IMDb has something on it. I haven't read it, but I'll try to find out what that is
I promise you, if you find it and you watch it, you will be reporting on it because it's spectacular.
Now, in the documentary, did they find the guy?
They did, and what happened was, he has like three daughters. I think it's all scratchy what I'm sharing with you. But I think he had three daughters.
Yeah.
And he was working as like a construction laborer, making minimal monies and trying to just like support his family. I'm so proud of this guy. He was like trying to support his family through the construction trades. He's working his butt off, and even at like 60 or 70 years old, he was working as a laborer, and he got this signal from overseas that somebody was looking for him, and he looked into it, and the next thing you know, he was going over to a foreign land and playing before an audience of like 70,000 people.
That's great. That's great. No, it's,
oh, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I'll look
you,
for that.
If you you will. If you check it out, Raleigh, you will be so, you will be blown away. But I just wanted to ask you if on either end, if you would play songs by either one of them, I'd be so happy.
I'll play the Stephen Sanchez for you for sure. I've got that. You know, it's interesting you tell me this story because that's happened with a lot of acts who didn't realize they were big beach music acts and they were huge in the Carolinas and had no idea. And in some cases, there were other people who were masquerading as them who were actually getting gigs. So that story was fairly common. The same thing happened with Northern Soul in England. So that's not totally unknown, but I'll look for Sugar Man. It sounds great. Apparently, it was a Sundance winner in 2012, so according to IMDb. So I'll look for that.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Good deal.
All right, bud.
All right. So we'll hear some Stephen Sanchez, which I haven't until I found you. I know that it is out there, and I've actually got it on this computer now. All right, Leah says the documentary is not about an artist named Sugarman, it's about an artist named Rodriguez. All right, so we're going to find out more, and I'll keep looking. So I think it was Steven Sagerman who was in the movie, but I don't think he was the subject of the documentary, but we'll find out. And so, but that'll be interesting. We'll hear Stephen together, and then we'll talk to Leah, and maybe she saw Court TV today, and I want to get her take on what she thinks the jury will do, assuming both sides rest tomorrow with their closing argument, will conclude their closing arguments. I assume they will, since the judge has pretty much edicted, so to speak. Not that you really can, but you don't really want to cross the judge either. So we'll get to Brian on the far southwest side as well, and another half hour of this with you right here on WGN Radio.
And I forget about the girl that said no.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Rodriguez. Two words on impact. I had no idea he was missing. All right, 1967. And Impact was a Harry Balk's label, and later Berry Gordy would buy it. But there were, you know, a few hits on Impact, to say the least. And then in I mean, it was August of 67, I'll Slip Away by Rodriguez. And I guess that's who the documentary is about. Sixto was his first name. He was sort of a Detroit thing for a minute there. And yeah, I had no idea he was missing. Well, apparently he's not only missing, they had a documentary about him. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And I think Leah knows something about that. So what do you know, Leah?
Hi, how are you tonight?
All right, how about yourself?
All right, I'm sorry if I was short with John. I just wanted to leave a message, but I couldn't quite get it out, and I was...
Oh, who knows?
I told Don, I'm sorry.
All right. That works.
But I saw the documentary about, I don't know, a few years ago. I'm not sure when it came out.
Yeah.
I saw it the year it came out.
That was 2012. Over a decade ago now.
Right. And it's about Rodriguez is the name of the artist, but I don't remember it being two words like that.
Oh, well, if you look at the label, I've got the record. First word is Rod, and next word is Rodriguez.
Yeah, I don't know if that was like a phase he was going
through. Oh, yeah, of course it was. Of course it was.
Yeah.
He was, he's a Mexican-American living in Detroit, in the 60s, trying to get a hit record. And so...
Right, but he went back to just the one name later on.
I'm sure, yeah. Well, his first name was Sixto.
Rodriguez, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
Because his stuff sounds a little like... His 60s stuff later on sounds a little like Bob Dylan, that kind of writing, that stream of consciousness kind of thing, you know?
Well, you know, I have the record, I'll Slip Away, and it was typical of Impact Records. I mean, there was nothing about it that was terribly professional, but it was, it's not terrible. Obviously, I kept it, so... what can I say? But I had no idea that this guy apparently was huge. I mean, huge.
Huge.
Yeah, but the problem is either they
in
were making...
country. I can't remember what country.
South Africa.
South Africa. Yeah. That's where it was.
And so they were either... You know, I don't think he had more than a dozen chart records. You know, I mean, this is the problem. So... If he was that huge, either somebody else was making records in his name, or they were playing the same ones over and over. I mean, it's not a lot of records.
I think they were playing the same ones over and over.
Not a lot of records, what can I say?
But
so.
They were looking for him because he was huge.
Yeah, well,
And they knew he wasn't dead, but he just went off the grid, you know, just totally off the grid.
Right. Right.
And nobody could find him. And I think he was in Canada or something like that.
No,
or,
well, I mean...
Puerto Rico or...
No, he was actually in Detroit. I don't know what the...
Oh, he was in Detroit. Well, same thing.
Right. Yeah. But, well, that's like Canada. I mean, after all, Windsor is a suburb. But, you know, Impact Record, you usually think about the Shades of Blue. You know, that's about it. Not a lot of hits, to say the least. But, yes, Rodriguez.
Yeah, Rodriguez, and it was a very good documentary. It was
interesting. Well, they found
a lot of the stuff I heard sounded like a lot of like Bob Dylan, like he was trying to write like Bob Dylan. So I don't know.
I never had any of his other records, so I can't speak to it. I just had that one.
Yeah.
Have no idea.
I mean, he sounded good to me. I love Bob Dylan, so that's you know.
There you are. I have no idea, but hopefully, I don't know what the upshot of it was. Did he go over to, of course, South Africa was a lot different by the time they found him, but
He went over there, and he started doing concerts and stuff.
How about that? Well.
And then he got popular again.
Yeah.
Here.
Is he still with us? Is he alive?
At the time of the documentary, he was,
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know now.
He'd be about 82 or so, I think. He wasn't.
He would be.
Yeah, because I think he.
Yeah, because 2012, he was like in his 60s, yeah, maybe 50s or 60s.
Yeah, he'd be 80 now. So hopefully he's doing well, and So, yeah, supposedly sold more records than Elvis Presley. Of course, we don't know how many records Elvis Presley sold in South Africa, so I'm not sure what the scale is for that. I think you'd have to know that
yeah,
first. But, yeah, it was Harry Balk, who owned Impact, who told him his name was Rodriguez. And that's, And then he was on Sussex for a moment, and they were a subsidiary of Buddha. And I think that's where he was using Rodriguez as one word. I never heard any of the Sussex stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like something a record guy would tell you. We know today you have to use it as two words, Rod and Rodriguez.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, absolutely. And he's like, hey, I want a record, fine. You know, so.
Yeah, you know, sign me up.
Yeah.
Am I going to make $1 million? Yeah.
Now, if he sold more records than Elvis and he didn't know it, this begs the question, who got the cash? Who got the royalties on this?
Yeah, maybe his daughters. I don't know.
No, no one is the point. It's nobody associated with it. Somebody must have been pressing him over there.
Oh, gee.
No. Believe me, he'd know it if he was getting the money. So, and that's not unusual, you know, that'll happen. But somebody, if he sold that many records and had no idea, somebody was booting them.
Well, I heard what you said about the Gwyneth Paltrow child.
Yeah, what do you think?
I didn't get to watch it today.
Oh. I was counting on you.
I know. But I saw a report on it on TV, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But we didn't get to watch it because we went to Jupiter's, the used music store.
Uh-huh.
And we bought 82 albums for, like, around $60.
Huh.
We got some good deals.
Good.
We got some really good deals. We got Maria Callas, Paul Williams. Let's see, Carole King. We got Elton John. Nothing you would really like, I don't think. We got David Bowie. We got nothing you would really like, I don't think.
That's all right.
And then we went to dinner at Red Lobster.
Yeah. How nice. And you survived.
I survived.
Yeah.
I survived Knockwood.
Very good.
I did not get sick. Yeah.
Excellent.
It was good. So, yeah, so that's all I wanted to tell you about that.
Well, and, good. Well,
I don't know if the case is anything like you say with the the experts and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's definitely going to go her way.
Well, it'll be interesting if they both do their closing arguments tomorrow. I expect a book report from you tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to definitely watch Court TV tomorrow.
All right, counting on it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. So, 888-876-5593 takes us back, maybe. I don't know. It may not actually be back. I might have just not disconnected him before, but we'll see Brian on the far southwest side. Are you still there, Brian?
Yes. Oh. I called back when one of your callers right after me thought that I was one of those defund the police.
Oh no, she didn't think that. That was Fran, and she just wanted to make the point that she agreed, and she's not one of those people because she lives in Austin, and Austin, most of the people are those people. So basically, she was saying that.
Now, whether she's a good person in Austin, Chicago, or Austin, Texas.
Austin,
you need your good cops.
Yes, and she absolutely thinks that. So, no, she was not casting aspersions at you as much as everybody else who lives in Austin.
Okay, well, no problem there, but a couple value-added points while I've been listening to you on the speakerphone for
2 hours.
However long it's been. No order of importance, but your friend with the Ampex tape recorder?
Yes.
Okay, for 38 states in the United States, several Canadian provinces, and French Guiana, according to our friend from the Space Coast, if you're collecting admiring obsolete electronics,
yeah.
Old radios, old televisions, old 2-inch tape recorders,
yeah.
Old video recorders, there's a piece in there called a capacitor. A capacitor blocks direct current voltage, but allows alternating current, as in a signal, you know, waveforms, to come through cleaner.
Yes.
And there's a type of those that are usually used that are basically jello on the inside. Now, those have a shelf life in decades, not in months or years. But if you're looking at something that's got 7 decades on it, you're going to have to replace all of those electrolytic capacitors, is the proper name for it. The proper name in the collector's community is called recapping. So your friend with the Ampex recorder in the garage, he seriously needs to think about recapping his Ampex. Either that or he's going to get less money selling it needing a recap. But just the same, don't sit on it. If you want it, keep it, fix it, love it. If you don't, sell it to somebody who does.
Works for me.
And another thing, a couple nights ago, you were talking about irritating ad campaigns.
Yeah.
Cars for Kids is absolutely the only reason I don't want to see these people publicly ran out of the United States on a rail is the charity that they're supposedly backing, with all these KIDS who can't spell the word, or KA, you know, they can't spell cars without using extra K's and a shortage of C's.
Right.
Maybe the summer camp for those children ought to include a spelling bee.
Well, the other thing that bothers me about it, actually, is there are some people who think they're actually using the cars for kids. No, they're just taking your cars and selling them for cash.
Well, yeah, because most of the charities, not just Cars for Kids, but almost all of them, they're not holding on to those cars, or they're not fixing them.
Of course
not.
Now,
there are some local charities, especially in the Chicago area,
that may be using them,
donate the car to that charity. They've actually got some homeless people who know how to turn a wrench, and a bunch of auto parts stores that are donating the parts, and they're going to turn your $250
write-off
Rosemont Junkyard Junker into a $1,100 you can drive it for a while car. And then they're giving it to free to other homeless people, you know. But that's the minority. Most of them, you give them their car, they're going to sell it for what they can get for it.
Because that's it.
They don't want the car, they want the money.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So to me, it's just, you know, I don't find it to be as ethical as just saying,
but annoying.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. They wouldn't be buying these commercials, and they are buying them. They wouldn't be buying these commercials if they weren't making money from them. So apparently...
Oh yeah, they definitely are. But you also mentioned a couple other ad campaigns. The old thing for that necklace where you can press a button and call and...
Oh yeah, exactly. Life Alert.
Yeah, the Life Alert. Mm-hmm. That's one where the hardest working man in show business should have sucked it up and cashed in. James Brown absolutely could have done it with his hit Sex Machine. Because when you listen to that guy in a live concert, he could tell some stories about some of the stuff that we can't tell without WGN's radio license. But he could have worked that up to the point where one of his particular lady friends of the evening left him alone with only one of his three legs functioning. And he had to go ahead.
Alrighty then.
Yes,
very good.
Because, you know, fall down, I can't get on up.
What a fine imagination you have. Absolutely. All right. Well, sometime we'll do
One last thing on that line before I let you go to get the last caller and ring off. There's a Cadillac dealership in a Chicago listening area that used to use the song. Okay, and I've been thinking of this for the past hour and a half, and I'm still drawing a blank for the name of the song. Ride, 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 give it a ride. What's that one?
Oh, yeah, I know this. Damn, not Hitching a Ride. Maybe. I know.
Right, give it a ride.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're thinking of. If you didn't do that, I could probably tell you. But
the point is, they use that song to sell cars.
Right.
Now, they're used and new car dealership, primarily new cars, but they sell the used trade-ins, the better ones. And as far as I know, they're an honest and honorable dealership. I've never done business with them. But for something like 6 or 7 years, they were using this particular song to advertise their dealership. And if you listen to the song, it's actually a song about the protagonist of the song being faced with adultery and betrayal and wondering if he's going to let her girlfriend take a ride or if he's going to tell her to hit the brick.
I'm pretty sure it is Hitchin' a Ride, and Vanity Fair was the group.
It's not Vanity Fair. They had more than one hit.
Yeah, but that's who had the hit with Hitchin' a Ride. A thumb goes up, a car goes by, it's nearly 1 a.m., here am I, Hitchin' a Ride. That song, then they go, ride, 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 Hitchin' a Ride.
Different song completely. Ride, ride, give it a ride.
Hitchin' a
Ride. Let it ride or something like that.
Oh, well, Hitchin' a Ride is definitely Vanity Fair. So,
and it's definitely not the Vanity Fair song. This was a bigger song than that, big enough that they could use it 10 or 15 years after it ran through its top 40 cycle and still have people recognize it, unlike Vanity Fair.
Probably more recent than my top 40 knowledge.
A lot more recent. It would be mid to late 70s.
Oh, I don't know. you got to get somebody who would care. It's not me.
Definitely, so, and...
All right. Well, if you,
anyway,
if you think of it, let me know. I'll look for it.
One of your predecessors on this dial, Dr. Milton Rosenberg, after getting caught in a night of the long knives several management changes ago, went over to a W light bulb station in the near suburbs, and he did a commercial or did a talk show post extension 720 on irritating commercials. And I happened to end up calling in to Dr. Milton's show and mentioning this exact thing and remembering the title of the song correctly, and like I did for you, I apologize. And maybe a week or two later, that particular Cadillac dealership quit using that song.
I was going to say a week or two later, they stopped advertising it. Oh, God. All right. Yeah,
well,
that's,
they quit using that song, but they kept advertising, well, and they're still in business. And they're still... Like you said, honest and honorable dealerships. I've never done business with them, and I've never heard of anybody who's done business with them not having a pleasant experience buying a new Cadillac from
them. If you think of the song, let me know.
Yeah, I'll have to email it to you, and if I can get through with all the spam, we'll both be amazed and amused, I suppose.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
Can you play us out with the flip side to your opening? And that would be Lady in My Heart, Burt Keys on Clock.
I could do that.
Right. Perfect, because while they got their biggest money on Baby Cortez and his Happy Oregon.
Yeah, I got to go, like right now. I'll talk to you later. All right. Okay.
Talk to you later.
All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. Well, at least I think I got to go. John came in here and said, you got to break right now. But Adam's not there telling me to break. So maybe I don't have to break. I don't know. I'll just keep prattling on until somebody tells me different. All right. I'll talk to Karen in Chicago. Hey, Karen, what's up?
Hi, Molly. Yeah, I think you're right about that song.
Yeah, well,
Hitchin' a Ride.
Maybe there's another one that we don't know about.
Probably so. Well, anyway, I wanted to thank you for the Manhattans. Oh, also wanted to thank you for getting me together with TJ. We had a wonderful chat this afternoon.
Good. I'm delighted.
We're talking about some old memories and found out he has a wonderful wife and he's just doing great. And I am so happy for him.
Good.
I also have a question for you. My nephew... For his birthday, once the Sea Crane radio, the one with the crank, and I can't remember, I have two of them, but I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the Solar Observer?
The Solar Mate. Wait a minute, what am I doing here? I'm not trying. Oh, well, now I'm breaking. All right, I'll just break. Hang on.
Online shopper during the pandemic. Groceries, clothes.
I screwed that up. That's on me.
Oh, that's right. I didn't know. So are we done? My next
car. Let me look here.
That's okay. I'm ready to go. WGN Radio. I'm Molly James. Well, that is the flip of Doo 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 Ba. And yes, that is Sister Houston wailing in the background. And there you have Burt Keys. All right. So now, in the waning moments, Karen, it is the CC Solar Observer. So can we talk more about that tomorrow night?
Oh, certainly.
Okay,
and
thanks.
Thank you for taking my call. Have a blessed day.
You too. All right. So on that note, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. Apologies to James for not getting to him. He sends wonderful links. But, you know, tomorrow night after the game, so about 11 p.m. Central. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.